Children.
If you want to go with Mrs. Alice in the children's church, you may do so now. Good morning, church. And good morning if you're visiting with us. Welcome to the Southside Church. We're glad you're here. It is ironic, maybe, maybe that's not the right word, but we are going to have this family meeting afterwards, and we're supposed to have light lunch, soup and sandwich, but it's looking more like we're going to have a feast. Either way, we're going to be eating, and I happen to be preaching today. I'm going to preach on the parable of the great banquet, a great meal, a great dinner. And now what's interesting about this, in 25 years of preaching, I have never preached on this parable of the great banquet. Well, that's about to change. But maybe it's the Holy Spirit that has this all planned out with the dinner we're going to have later, or maybe it's coincidence, I don't know. But my prayer is that as we read this word and hear the word preached, not what I say, but that the Holy Spirit can just help us all see the life that Jesus is calling us to live as followers of Jesus. So let's read our scripture, or let's pray, and then we'll read the scripture. The title of this message is called A Kingdom for Everyone, and it's going to be from Luke chapter 14, 15 through 24. So let's pray, and then we'll read our text. Father God, we are thankful to be in your presence this morning, to be breathing the life that you have given to us by your grace, to be awake in your world, and to be not just awake in your world, but to be awake with the hope, the promise of hope that you have made in your Son Jesus Christ, giving us a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade, as your Apostle Peter wrote. And God, as we open your word this morning, to hear it read and preached, I pray, God, that you would fill us with your Spirit, that our eyes and ears can be open to see and hear the life you call us to live as a church following your Son, Jesus. And pray, God, that you'll pour upon me the gift of preaching from your Spirit so that your word can be preached with grace and truth this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, Luke chapter 14. And let me turn this around too. It will be on the screen here for you too. Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' And another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' And still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported all this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you've ordered has already been done, but there's still room.' And the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I'm going to tip my age here a little bit. One of my favorite movies growing up was The Outsiders. Anyone ever seen The Outsiders? All right, so this was a kind of a coming-of-age film about youth, which had all kinds of actors in it who went on to be famous stars, and this was sort of like their breakout film. But it is a story. It's a written screenplay, and everything is written and directed by the great director Francis Ford Coppola. And it's set back in the 50s in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and it is the plot is centered around this rift that exists between two gangs, the affluent jocks, known as the Sox, and then the not-so-affluent gang on the other side of the tracks, known as the Greasers. They're all from the poor side of town. And the plot is a plot that has played out in many movies, just with different details, but the same plot. It's the same plot as the plot line in the film A Bronx Tale, which rests upon the ethnic tensions that exist between blacks and Italians living in New York City in the middle part of the 20th century. And speaking of New York City, some of you may remember the rift that existed between the Jets and the Sharks. Know what I'm talking about? The West Side Story, yes. Which was just a retelling of the classic Shakespeare play, Romeo and Juliet, yeah. The reality is we can go back as far as Cain and Abel to find rivalry, rifts, ways of othering people, excluding people. It's one of the things that we've excelled at well in history. It's not well that we've excelled at this, but it's one of the things that we people have excelled at well is excluding one another. We find some reason to say, you don't belong, I do, therefore there's a line between us. It's an imaginary line, but don't you dare cross it. Otherwise, we're going to have a problem. Whether the exclusion begins with jealousy that's fueled by racism or classism, or just the sense of superiority that wants to look down upon others as though, if I'm looking down on you, as though I'm somehow better than you. It's all the same. What we get are the plot lines that make for great entertainment at the box office, but really perpetuate cultures of division in our world. And the world becomes a place, it is a place that's divided by the colors of our skin, the kind of cars we drive, and the homes that we live in, the education we have or don't have, and so on. And meanwhile, someone in the crowd says, blessed is anyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven. And yes, blessed is anyone who will eat this bread in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed is anyone who receives the grace that allows them to break bread in God's kingdom. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper later. That's an act of grace on God's part. We're blessed to do that. Blessed is anyone who receives the grace that allows them to break bread in God's kingdom. But I doubt that this guest, who's likely a Pharisee, really had anyone in mind. Earlier in the 14th chapter, this is a passage Tuesday or Monday at the Christian Workers meeting that Danny read during it. But earlier in the 14th chapter, just before the passage we read earlier, Jesus says this, But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, although they cannot repay you. I doubt the Pharisee had those kind of people in mind. And it kind of makes me wonder, are the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind ever the people that God's people are eager to invite to dinner? Just think about that. Are we so eager to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to dinner? I remember meeting with some church leaders at another church where I served with. And we had managed to evangelize some neighbors that lived near our church building who were all living with HIV and had struggled in the past with substance abuse and a lot of other challenges that just stem back to when they were children and living lives, horrible lives that no child should ever have to live through. And we managed to evangelize some of these neighbors, and they were now part of our church. And so as I sat in this meeting reflecting with our leaders about these members, our neighbors who didn't have much to give, certainly didn't have much to give financially, but we're thankful that they are now part of our church. And as I sat and reflecting in this meeting, one of the leaders chimed in and said, "That's great. Now you need to go evangelize some rich people." And this past week, I saw a clip, a trend among some churches. It's called target acquisition. I never heard of this term before. Some of you may have. Regardless of what goes on in the business world, the church is an American business, and target acquisition is this, where churches get your address so they can do research on you, and if you make so much money, then they really want to court you, which reduces people to how much they have or don't have, which is just another form of lust. I'll tell you right now, we do not do that here at this church. If you give us our contact information, the only reason we want your contact information is because we want to build relationships with you, because we want to help you follow Jesus just as we're trying to follow Jesus, so that we can all live as people of God's kingdom together. Frankly, I'll tell you right now, even if at this moment you don't have two nickels to rub together, you're still more valuable than any gold amount of gold or silver could ever buy, because you bear the image of God. People cannot be reduced to how much money they have or don't have, just as the same as people cannot be reduced to what the color of their skin is, what language their native tongue is in, what kind of job they, what kind of house they live in, any of that stuff that we like to classify people in this world by. Jesus just doesn't seem to get that memo, go out and evangelize some rich people. Here we are gathered around the table, gathered for dinner. And in the Gospel of Luke, the table is a common place where Jesus engages in ministry as a place of hospitality, where Jesus embodies God's blessing of salvation to other people. One of my former professors, a friend, dear friend of mine, John Mark Hicks describes the table practice of Jesus as a place of mission, community, and hospitality. Goes on to say, at table, Jesus receives sinners and confronts the righteous. At table, Jesus extends grace to seekers but condemns the self-righteous. Jesus eats with others to introduce them to the kingdom. He contrasts our tables of social, ethnic, gender, economic, and religious status with the table in the kingdom of God. And to that end, Jesus is sitting at a table where he begins telling a parable, where he draws attention to the poor, the blind, and the lame, and the crippled. Many guests are invited to this great banquet, as we often describe it. Or it's a large dinner. And we get the sense that it's an important dinner, an important banquet, something that, like the who's who of who are going to be there, and you want to be there because this is the place to be. A prestigious homeowner with a big house that can accommodate a lot of people is preparing this big feast. I like to think he's preparing barbecue, but that's me. It's someone important. Someone of great means, of great stature. And he's inviting others to this feast. But the text says that they all began to make excuses. One has a new field he needs to go see. One has about 5 new oxen that he needs to go and check out. And the other one just got married. I'm a little sympathetic to this guy that just got married. But the way Jesus tells the parable, Jesus isn't sympathetic. They all made excuses. And so all three are going to miss this banquet. But notice this. They are not going to miss this banquet because they are unwelcomed or excluded. They are going to miss this, the blessing of sharing in this great dinner, because they have excuses. No one is ever excluded from God's kingdom. You might make an excuse why you don't want to participate, but it's not for lack of God's welcome, God's invitation for you and I to participate. They all have excuses, but they're not the only ones who receive an invitation. According to the parable, the host will send out a servant and he says, go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And this invitation is meant as a point to tell us something about what the kingdom of God is really like, which is nothing like what our world is often like. Societies all across the third rock from the sun are places where distinctions are made. We have caste systems and class systems and racial systems and systems based on just what kind of job you have and what kind of house you have, everything down to what kind of clothes you're wearing. They're all ways of defining the haves and the have-nots, those with wealth and power and those who have neither. In schools, cliques, this is middle school, cliques can form simply based on the clothing that students wear, because the clothing they wear is a status symbol that either says you have arrived or you're just not cool. Some years ago, I took some students to Portland, Oregon, where we were helping rebuild these tiny home villages that are transitional housing for people who are homeless. And Portland also happens to be the home of Adidas athletic wear. And so of all the neat things you could see in the Portland area, the students, middle school students and high school students, including my daughter, they wanted to go to the Adidas factory where they could go to the Adidas store and buy Adidas products at wholesale price. So I was told, well, you could get some these $300 shoes for about $120. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's still a lot of money for me for buying shoes, but hey, you know, you see, wearing Adidas shoes and clothing was to make a statement that mattered in the society that these students inhabited. When they can go back, this was during the summertime, when they can go back to school and at the beginning of September, and they got on Adidas shoes and got on an Adidas shirt. They're telling the rest of their students, we are part of the crowd that matters. The Adidas logo was, and probably still is, a mark that allowed these students to be included in the right peer group. And the parable that Jesus tells is his way of saying, go out and invite the students who don't have Adidas shoes or any other name brand clothing to wear. Go out and invite those people because they are also welcome to participate in this dinner. They are also welcome at this table to eat and feast and dine in God's kingdom. And whether we want to use the metaphor of a banquet, a party, or whatever else we might want to use, metaphor we want to use, here is the reality. The kingdom of God is a place where God's hospitality means that all are welcome. Nobody is ever excluded. Such gracious hospitality is the reason why the servant is told to go out and compel the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame to come to this dinner. The Common English Bible reads, go urge people to come into so that my house will be filled. So the NIV says, go compel. The Common English Bible says, go urge. And I only point this out because sometimes, at least the way I read it, I might be wrong on this, but the way I read it, compel seems like a strong word, almost like, go on, grab them by the ears, and whether they want to come or not, pull them in here. And that's not what Jesus is trying to say. The idea is not grabbing people by the ears, so to speak, and forcing them to attend the party. Rather, Jesus is telling us how important it is to upend the accepted social statuses that create divisions and constantly tell people that certain people are not welcome. And so Jesus urged them to come in so that people will know that this kingdom is different than the other kingdoms of this world. That this kingdom is a place where even they who think that they have been told that they do not belong, that even they will know they belong. The kingdom of God isn't a kingdom just for certain people. It's a kingdom for everyone. But I wonder if everyone knows that they're welcome. We live in a world right here in America where divisions and discriminations still exist. And it's not just racism, which we all know is wrong. I think about the young woman who wonders if there's something wrong with her because her body is not the shape the society says the body of a young woman should be. And so she wonders if she's in or out. Or I think about the young man who fears that his broken English with a foreign accent is why some people hate him. And the church participating in the mission of God has the opportunity to tell this young woman or this young man that your body and your language skills make no difference because you belong with us. Welcome to the kingdom. which is the kingdom for everyone, period. Church, if we want to follow Jesus on mission with God, we have to invite people into God's kingdom. And then we have to be the people who embody this kind of hospitality of God that we see Jesus embodying. The great dinner, the great banquet, is not our dinner. We're not the hosts. We're just the servants being sent out to invite people to come in. But in practice, that means we have to sort of take on the role of the host. And I'm convinced that one of the best ways that we can begin to show and tell people about the good news, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God is to invite people into our homes for meals. You see, to invite someone into your house, that's your personal space. And to invite someone into your house is to say, you and I are no different. We're just two fellow travelers trying to find out where we're going. Let's go together. The dinner table is a place of hospitality. It's a place where we invite people into our homes to eat dinners, but to see what true love, real love, God's love looks like. And if we want to get people plugged into our church, then we have to be good hosts as a church. That means being open to what others would bring. Rather than just trying to fit, say, you fit in with what I'm doing, being open to what they bring. So I like barbecue, in case you didn't know that. Hint, hint. If you're having dinner, no. but if I'm inviting people over and I say, we're going to have a barbecue. All right, I got the meat. You bring a side dish, your favorite dessert, drink of some sort. It may not be my favorite dessert, or my favorite side dish, but so what? It's what you're bringing. Because you're a part of this too. It's the kind of hospitality that says your gifts are welcome here. Just don't bring yourself. Bring your gifts and let your gifts be a part of shaping this to be the best kind of feast it can be. And when new people come to our church, it means being receptive to the sort of gifts that God has given them. Instead of telling them what they should be, let them be who God is gifting them to be. And so that can make our feast, our dinner, our party, our church even better, because it's not us trying to shape the church, it's letting God shape us to be the church He wants us to be as followers of Jesus. At the end of the day, faithfully embodying the gospel means living as a church in such a manner that everyone we meet will begin to sense that the kingdom of God is for them too. And I know that's hard to believe for some people because they've lived in a world where they've always been excluded in some ways. And we get the greatest privilege of knowing that we have been shown grace by God and extending that grace to others so that they know this party is for them to come and enjoy the dinner. Stand with me, and we're going to pray again this prayer I just want to keep doing this because this is the life that Jesus is calling us to live. So let's pray together. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Stay standing. We're going to sing. Now, I just want to tell you, if you're visiting with us, welcome to this church gathering. Welcome to the Southside Church. You are always welcome to be with us. You don't know about Jesus, that's fine. We will be happy to tell you. If you know about Jesus and you want to commit to following Jesus, surrendering your life to Jesus in baptism, let us know. That baptistry is ready. Just as every one of us have been born in the image of God, every one of us has the image of baptism into Christ that Jesus is waiting to give us. Where we come, die to ourselves, are buried with Jesus Christ in water, and raised into his life with the promise of eternal life that we could share forever in this kingdom without any exclusion. Let's sing.